So we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God, that we are here. Because, Lord, we know it is only by your mercy, only by your grace that we are here. We did not deserve to be here, oh, Lord, but because you kept us, because you protected us, Lord God, because you gave us a mindset to get up and to come to your house today, we are here, Lord God. And we thank you for the privilege of coming to your house. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I thank you that we have the mindset to come and to worship and to be together, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, and to strengthen each other, Lord God. We thank you for it, and we thank you for the blessing of worship. Lord, we just pray that you would help us in this class, help us with our lesson. Oh, Lord, I pray again that we take it in and we digest it and it becomes a part of who we are, Lord God. We pray that we take in your word, Lord God, that we don't keep it at arm's length, but we take it into ourselves, Lord God, even when it convicts us, Lord God. I pray that we would still embrace it, Lord God, even when we have to change, even when we have to bring ourselves on the altar. Oh, Lord, I pray we still embrace your word. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Terry, that's all right. I think, you know, I'm sure I got a bell at home. I was going to say bell. I almost said bell. Yeah, I have a bell at home. I know I have one I can bring in. So I'll bring one. So as we review our lesson from last week, we started in on just really talking in depth. Could everyone just please, it's hard for me when everyone's chatting. I can't hear myself. I know you guys want to see each other, you know. But it's hard for me to hear. As we review the lesson, last week we went into accountability and just talking about accountability even deeper. We went into the segment on your lesson called Accountability Unchained and what that was looking like, just unchaining accountability and really just diving into what it is and what it is to hold yourself accountable, understanding that the Holy Spirit holds us all accountable. That's why we feel conviction when we sin, is because the Holy Spirit holds us accountable for what we know in the Word of God. You know, we also talked about a key scripture in Proverbs 27:17 that says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of our friends. And we sharpen each other. You know, when I'm having a rough day, you sharpen me. And when you're having a rough day, I sharpen you. You know, and that's why we need each other. That's why the body of Christ needs each other, because we all have days in which we're just needing some encouragement. Nobody is exempt. As I said, especially, you know, our leadership, you know, we have to make sure that we encourage them, you know, because they carry a load and they carry a burden, and often the enemy will target them above everybody else, because the enemy knows if he takes down the leadership, then everybody else falls behind them. So we just want to be sure that we're lifting up our leadership and praying for them. We talked about when we are dealing with accountability with a brother and sister or sister who has fallen, that we have to check our own spirit, you know, because we get certain feelings when we hear stuff about people that have fallen. We get a certain spirit. Sometimes it's a spirit of hurt. You know, you feel wounded because they make us look bad. You know, they embarrass the cause of Christ. When you hear those things happening, it embarrasses the cause of Christ, and we understand that. But we also have to stand up like Jesus did, you know. Jesus, he was our prime example, and we're going to talk about how he stood up, you know, in the face of fallen people and how he behaved. And that's the way we should behave too. And also we talked about keeping a watch on our own spirit so that we're not getting into sin because somebody else has sinned, because the enemy is right there waiting. He talks our brothers and sisters into falling, and then he's waiting for those around him or her that will act out too, so he can jump on them. So you have to be very careful when the enemy has caused someone to fall, because he's near, he's close by, and he's waiting to jump on you too. So you have to be very prayerful that bullet doesn't hit you too. We gave the example of when a bullet hits a brother, or when the soldiers are out in battle and they're in the middle of combat and a bullet hits the buddy next to him. What does he do? He puts his head down. He doesn't stand up there, you know, all proud. He puts his head down. Hopefully he'll grab his buddy and pull his buddy into the foxhole so both are safe. And that's the mentality we have to have in Christendom when we see somebody fall. First of all, we go into prayer, keep ourselves safe, and we're pulling our brother and sister to safety by holding them accountable and by ministering and praying for them. So as we move on in the lesson, and I believe we're on page, is it page six again? Page six in your lesson. We're at the part, mid-page, in the page, the part where it says, two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And though one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And that's from Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12 I just read. And there's just a lot in that verse. These verses speak volumes on two major necessities of accountability. Number one is vulnerability. You know, letting people know that you do need them. You know, we sometimes get proud, think, I don't need anybody. All I have is me, 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 me. You know, but you do. You know, we're designed to need each other. And the second thing is transparency. And we're going to break both of those things down. So if we talk about vulnerability, it says, allow trusted people of God into your life so that they may pray with you and encourage you. Many fight being vulnerable and keep the secrets and pains of their life behind walls of fake perfection. Oh my goodness, isn't that us? You know, we're trying to be perfect little Christians, you know, and we don't have any problems and our families are perfect and we are perfect and we won't share, we won't pray with each other, we won't share what's going on, really going on in our lives because we're trying to be perfect. You know, we need to learn how to be vulnerable with trusted people so they can pray with us. All the while, they are dying inside alone. So many people. The enemy has convinced them that there is no one that will understand and join them in warfare prayer for their loved ones or other shameful situations. You know, you have shameful situations. Yes, it happens on planet Earth. I think we all have been through shameful situations that was hard and was difficult. As I said, my house was being mortgaged, or it was being sold at an auction. It was in the paper, folks. It was in the paper, and I found out at a Christmas party. I didn't even know. I mean, I found it at a Christmas party. I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing. But I'm telling you, those kind of things get you over yourself, because I got over myself. I was like, I don't care anymore. All my stuff is out there. Who cares anymore? I don't care what people say or think. My stuff is out there, Joe. Didn't even care anymore. I mean, what can you do? What can you do? But I believe, you know, God allow those things so that you learn how to be vulnerable, how to let people see what's going on with you so they can come alongside and pray and have them, let them help you. Don't be so proud that you can't let people help you and help you have a good day. They want to bring you a meal. No, I'm fine. Let them help you. They'll be blessed because they're blessing a child of God. So let people bless you. I had to learn that because I was this independent person. I'm fine. I'm okay. You know, I'm helping everybody else. I don't need anybody to help me. Oh, my goodness. See, God will take you to a place where all your stuff is in the paper. They said, we need to go pray for Karen, honey, because she's about to lose her house. You know, so... You know, so sometimes we're in shameful situations, like we have to go to court for something or something other. We won't even ask anyone to pray because you got to go to court or a loved one has to go to court for some reason. And you won't even ask, you know, the body of Christ to pray because you're too ashamed. Folks, don't let the enemy tell you all kind of lies. You know, find somebody to join in prayer before you go before the judge and different things like that. I implore you in your lesson, it says, I implore you not to freeze outside of the prayer room alone, but trust the Holy Spirit to lead you to a prayer partner or partners who will agree with you to take back your territory from the enemy. Don't be freezing outside the prayer room by yourself because the enemy's got your mind all jacked up with lies about what's going to happen if you tell somebody. Folks, there are people that you can trust. I know there are people that you can't. Gossipers that would just take it and use it, but oh, God will lead you to people that you can join hands with, that will cry with you, that will pray with you. They exist, I know it. I've got people that I know that I can sit and I can cry with and I can pray with, you know, and I won't hear it again. I won't hear it around town. You know, they will pray with me, and then they'll ask, how did it go? How did things go? Well, the Lord came through. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're so happy that the Lord came through. So there are people out there. Don't let the enemy deceive you that there isn't. It says in your lesson, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to a prayer partner, someone who is available to you and experienced in the faith. You ask yourself, who can I be vulnerable with? Who can I trust? And God will show you. You pray that prayer before God, and he will show you. Sometimes it's somebody in your own family. Sometimes it's a family member. You know, sometimes it's somebody just close. But somebody that's available to you is who you want to go with. So vulnerability, number one, when it comes to accountability. Number two, transparency. Once you take your walls down, then you must become transparent. All of humanity has fallen. All of us have fallen. And all of us have been wounded by Satan. Don't be afraid or ashamed to weep with another brother or sister as you pour out your pain together before the throne of God. So be transparent. Satan does not want us to talk. I'll tell you right now, he doesn't want y'all talking. You know, keep to yourself, by yourself, because while you're by yourself, he can pick you up. That's how, look at the lion attack. We talked about the lion, how the lion attacks. Waits for that one all by themselves, sitting over there, all by themselves. That's the one they're going for, because they're by themselves. They're not with the herd. So talk. Compare notes. And sometimes it's so interesting how, you know, when I've talked to people and I compare notes, boy, they're going through the same thing or have gone through the same stuff. And they've come out in victory. And they were able to testify to me how God brought them out. And see, that's what Satan doesn't want you to hear. That Jesus is faithful and Jesus will bring you out. Yes, it happened. Yes, it happened. It was allowed. Job said, the thing that I was afraid of the most has happened. And we wonder, God, why would you let it happen? You got to trust God. Trust him. You know, he is faithful and he promises all things will work together for your good. And I mean in life and in death. You know, sometimes we limit God to this temporal existence. We serve a God of the eternal. He transcends this life into the eternal life. So even in death, he is there working for your good. And sometimes even working for the person that was taken. You know, I know for a fact, I know God takes some people early, because he said if I didn't take them now, they would be lost. So I take them now, you know, and if I take them now, or sometimes if I take them now, then some others will come to Christ that wouldn't come to Christ if that person had stayed. I mean, I just know he knows eternity. He knows scenarios. He knows, I don't know if you guys have ever seen those shows where they have all these alternate realities and, you know, alternate Earths, and there's a duplicate of all of us. And, you know, what would have happened if I would have went to this school instead of that school? What would have happened if I would have married that person or that person? I'm telling you, God doesn't need all that. God already knows every type of situation you could have ever been in your life. And so he works and he moves in your life to bring out the best outcome for you. The best outcome for your loved ones. The best outcome for everybody on earth. You know, and he knows everything that's happening. So you can rest in him and you can trust him with your life and what happened. So again, keep in mind, Satan does not want us to talk. He doesn't want us to compare notes with each other and share how we have overcome. It says in your lesson, be real before your brothers and sisters and before your Christ. He knows where you are. The scriptures teach us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing sin. That means he can keep you, but he knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're feeling in your body. He knows what you want and what you desire. You know, but yet he felt all those things, yet without sin. And that's to encourage us that he can keep you also. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear. You don't have to be fearful of bringing your stuff to God. He already knows it anyways. So, you know, so bring it to him so that we may receive mercy. I love the word mercy. He, you know, he's there. Jesus sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, folks, so that you and I can find mercy. Mercy for our failures, it says, and find his amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. And that's Hebrews 4, 15 through 17. So he's concerned about you. It breaks his heart when your heart is broken. Okay, sometimes you think God is out there. You know, I hear people say, you know, God is, you know, they get mad at God because they think God is laughing at them in their calamity. God is, you know, God knew this was going to happen. Oh, not for his children. He does say he will laugh at some people. He will laugh at those that don't believe and won't serve him. He said, when your trouble come, I'm going to laugh. But his children, oh, look out, folks. Don't you ever think that he's sitting there laughing. His heart is broken when your heart is broken. You know, he allowed it to happen. He knew it had to happen. But he's sad that your heart is broken over it. And he will be right there to comfort you when you're feeling hurt. When you're feeling hurt, he is hurt. You know, so we got to go forward. He's concerned when we're hurting. And he does not want us to suffer alone. You know, and he doesn't want, you know, it even hurts him when you feel that his church can't be trusted. That hurts God because that's not what he set up. That's not why Jesus died. He didn't die for a group of people that couldn't be trusted. He died for a group of people that understood sin and understood the world. People, we have been saved from sin, and we should understand others that are still struggling with it. We should understand people that fall because we know what it is to fall. We should have the heart above anybody else. Who else can they go to? Who else in the world can they go to and find true help? They can go to their buddies and go drink themselves into oblivion. They can shoot up drugs and just forget the pain of what they're going through. Or they can come to the body of Christ and find help and find truth and find true love, not somebody that just wants to use you. Oh, they're sad. There's people out there that are predators, man. They see you down and they see you upset and they see you and they will come and they will use you. But not so in the body of Christ. The scripture says you have not so learned Christ. We love because he loves and we are not looking for anything back. You don't even have to give me credit. You don't have to talk about what I did for you. Just know that Jesus loves you. I do this because Jesus loves you. Through me, he loves you. And I can love you because he loved me. If he didn't love me, I couldn't love you. And that's what you emphasize to people. You know, so the body of Christ, again, the church, we have to be a safe place for people. We got to make ourselves a safe place. You know, if you have problems with loose lips and gossiping, take it to Jesus. Like, Lord, help me. You know, and I say mostly the people that are very social, people that are very outgoing, be careful. Because just like to talk, like to socialize, be careful. Ask the Holy Spirit, put a guard over my tongue, Holy Spirit, so that I don't say anything that might hurt a brother or sister that I shouldn't say. You know, I'm praying that prayer about myself all the time. Lord, let me be careful. You know, because sometimes I'm just talking. I didn't even mean it. But, oh, my God, help me to be careful with my tongue and what I say. You know, as people are being transparent, you know, we want the church to be some place that they can trust. The people of God, a place they can trust. And then finally, in your lesson, it says a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And finally, in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it speaks of the three-stranded cord, the cord that consists of two people and their Lord. Remember, just talking about two. This, you know, you look at it, this scripture here that we just read, and it's talking about two, two, two. And then at the end, it talks about three. So who are we talking about? We got to be the Lord. He's like three strands. You know, so he talks about putting the Lord in there. Here in his strength and protection. The strategy of your enemy remains the same, to divide and conquer. That's why we fight with so much strife every day. You put two human beings together, I don't care who they are. They could be saint whatever, mother whatever, pastor whatever. You put two people together for long enough and there's going to be some strife because the enemy is constantly trying to divide and conquer us. But we can overcome in Jesus Christ. He seeks to divide you from your Christian brothers and sisters or from your Lord so that he can pick you off like a lamb who has left the herd. Unity is a powerful weapon of warfare, guys. Unity is a powerful weapon of warfare. This nation is called the United States of America. If one state is out there by itself, they're in trouble. But the United States, oh man, that rings fear around the world. Oh, the United States. Oh, because those folks are united. You know, you can go from state to state. You don't have to go through. You just cross borders. You know, they're united. They're together. You know, they're unified. They share their resources. You know, that's what makes them so strong and so powerful. They share their knowledge. And they're a united nation. And, you know, they pick people from all, their people come from all over that those United States to make up their army and their navy and their air force. And, oh, man, look out for them because they're united. So we got to do the same thing. I'm telling you, the body of Christ, the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And that's why the scripture says endeavor to keep it. Endeavor, fight to keep it. Don't let every little offense separate you. Let it go. It's not a big deal. So they said something about your outfit. So they rolled their eyes. So what? When souls and eternity hangs in the balance and you're concerned about what somebody said about your hair. Come on, folks. Again, we got to do better. We got to do better. We got to fight. That's what it means by endeavor. When that thing hits you, that offense hits you, endeavor, fight that spirit of strife to keep unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. Don't let the enemy just divide us so quickly. It is amazing to me sometimes in the church how we get divided so quickly. We pack up our Bible and go to another place, you know. I'm like, really? You're going to pack up your Bible and go to another church? Take your marbles and go home. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, really? I mean, really, we got to do better. I mean, is that all it takes for the enemy? Somebody said something, or somebody didn't talk to me, and somebody, or, you know, the pastor said something from the pulpit, you know, and really? Grow up, or the enemy will continue to pick us off like little children. We got to grow up. We got to do better. We got to endeavor to fight to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So we're going to work at it and we're going to keep at it until we are definitely victorious in the Lord. And finally, it says the apostle warns us to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. And that's 2 Corinthians 2:11. He teaches this in the context of forgiveness. I believe nothing separates the body of Christ more than the demon of unforgiveness. And beware of this strategy. Unforgiveness separates us. And I'll tell you right now, you don't have any excuse before God for unforgiveness. Don't think you get a pass because you were hurt, so wounded. I talk to people, they feel like their pain is something that no one ever felt on earth before. So therefore they get a pass to be unforgiving. No, you don't. Look at what Jesus went through. My goodness. You do not get a pass. I'm going to tell you now. You know, when he reviews your life, he's going to show this class. He says, Karen Culver told you you didn't get a pass. Karen didn't get a pass. And you all don't get a pass. None of us get a pass, okay? I got to forgive. You know, he told me, you got to forgive. Don't think because you're teaching a Sunday school class, you get a pass. You don't get a pass, Karen. You better forgive just like everybody else. So you gotta be aware of the schemes of Satan. And don't let him divide us. We're going to stay together. We're going to love each other. And as we love each other, then people can come in and find a safe place where they can come in and love, be loved and be cared for. You know, it hurts me when I hear people say stuff about the church. Oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites and blah, 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 blah. Oh, man. You know, don't let it be true. Don't let it be true of us anymore. You know, we're going to be the ones, the place, the safe place in Jesus' name. Next on your lesson, we're talking about Ephesians 4:15 revisited, that says, speaking the truth in love in all things, both in our speech and our lives, expressing his truth. Let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. Again, so we're going to talk about growing up. There is a growing up, and then there is a growing up in Christ, okay? So we've got to understand there's a growing up physically, there's a growing up in human maturity, and then there's a growing up in Christ that's different. Growing up in Christ looks much different than growing up in human terms. Growing up in Christ requires the strength of the Holy Spirit. It requires prayer, it requires study and meditation in the Word of God if you are going to grow up in Christ. And that's what this scripture is talking about. Grow up in all things into him. Just because you've got a number behind the number of years you've been here doesn't mean that you're grown up. You know, your body is grown up, but is your mind grown up? I remember Miles Monroe saying many years ago, some people are mature and some people are just old. You know, so you've got to decide. You've got to decide which one you're going to be. You know, so we want to grow up in Christ, and we want to grow up in spiritual maturity. We're not still simply talking about maturity. We're talking about spiritual maturity and what that looks like. So in your lesson, it says, questions. Do you struggle with speaking the truth to a brother and sister in spiritual trouble? Let's talk about this for a minute. We usually struggle because of our emotions. We talked about those emotions, and I want to keep that in front of you, because that's something that you've got to constantly take to your war room, is those emotions that you have. We struggle because of our emotions and thoughts planted in our heads by the enemy who desires to keep division going. So it's not just your emotions, but the enemy sees you're emotional, and then he starts planting thoughts in your head about people. I mean, I wake up every morning having a fight, just like, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just cast that out of my head. He's not going to do that when I get to work. They're not going to do that. He'll tell you, you know, so-and-so's going to do this. You know, it's lies of the enemy. Just cast those things down. So sometimes we can't talk to people because our emotions are in the way. But spiritual maturity will oversee your emotions by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you submit your emotions to Jesus Christ, admit they're there. I'm not telling you don't think about your emotions. Don't ignore your emotions. Yeah, you need to admit that they're there. Lord, I'm feeling angry with this person right now. I feel anger, Lord. But I take this anger and I submit it. Speak it out loud. Because you need to speak. You need to make that confession out loud. Lord, I commit this anger that I feel right now to your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give me your fruit today. First thing on the list is love. Let me love them, Lord God, because I'm angry with them right now. Lord, and I'm resentful. Just talk about. You know, I love David because David talked about his emotions. He talked about his emotions with God. He said, I hate them, Lord. I hate them with a perfect hatred. You know, I'm like, doggone it, David, with a perfect hatred, you know? But I love it. He was a man after God's own heart because he spoke his true heart to God. He wasn't trying to pretend as if he loved people. And he was, when he hated him, he told God, God, I hate them. You know? And then let the Holy Spirit move. Holy Spirit, come. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come. This is how I'm feeling. But Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit, who I know can overcome, to help me with my emotions. So if you're struggling to speak the truth, and someone in spiritual trouble, because when someone's in spiritual trouble, the first thing we feel is a bit of resentment. I can't believe they're doing that. I can't You know, just examine how you feel when you hear that somebody is doing something that you don't think they should be doing as a believer. Examine how you feel. And that's what you need to submit to the Holy Spirit. Next part, next question says, do you struggle with loving a brother and sister in trouble? We already hit on that. Remember, the enemy does not want you to tap into the love of God at such a time, because he knows love will cover a multitude of sins. Boy, when you love somebody, you cover a multitude of sins. Think about how you love your children. I mean, that child could be doing all kind of stuff, been in jail, you know, done shot somebody. And here come mama, still praying and still loving him. You know, and people looking at, I can't believe, love covers a multitude of sins. And if you don't love them, then ask God, Holy Spirit, help me to love them, because I've got to love them through you, because my human love is not enough. My human love is exhausted. But Lord, your love. I know what I'm talking about, folks. I love people that I never thought I would love. But I can love them today because of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus loves them. And when Jesus starts growing up in you, I'm telling you, you'll love people. I mean, and love them deeply, you know? And as you start growing in Christ, I mean, you will find yourself weeping over people that you never thought you'd be weeping over. Or you were just indifferent to. It wasn't that you disliked them. It's just that, you know, they're just my neighbor. You know, they're just this one. They're just my coworker. They're just somebody I work with. That happened to me one time. I was in my office and this parent came in and was talking to me about their child, and all of a sudden all these tears just came. I'm like, Lord, what is this? I'm a professional, you know. But the tears just came, and I was like, Lord, what is that? He said, that's my love. That's my love for that family. That's my love for that poor mama that's dealing with that right now. That's my love for them working through you. And so you'll find that it'll happen as you grow in God. It's going to happen. You're going to be sitting there talking with somebody, and then all of a sudden these tears, and those are the tears of your Lord for that person you're talking to. That's not you. He will, oh, I'm telling you, folks, this is a real thing. This is a true thing. So if you're having issues with love, press in. Read his word. Start praying. Lord, give me a love. Holy Spirit, give me a love for the people. Because I don't really love the people. I'm kind of indifferent. I could care less, you know? I don't say it out loud, but that's how I'm feeling, you know? But God will give you a love for people so that you start loving them and you'll show them the love of Jesus in you. The next part on your lesson says, how did Jesus balance truth and love? The best example I believe of Jesus displaying the balance of speaking the truth and love is his interaction with his disciple Peter. Now, I really love this. I really had a good time preparing this yesterday because I just love Peter. Peter's one of my favorite people. Peter's a sanguine, and I'm not a sanguine, but I just love Peter, man. I'm telling you, he is just a picture of humanity. I just love him. Oh man. So this is Jesus' interaction with his disciple Peter. So the first part of your lesson says Peter is commended. And in the scriptures, this is in Matthew 16 and 17. It says, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood, mortal men, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Okay, so here is Jesus. Peter says this really amazing revelation, you know, in the group of the disciples. And Jesus encourages Peter in his faith and confirms for him that he is right on. He's right on track. He's really in line with the truth of God. And, you know, oh, Peter, yes, yeah, you just really, oh, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Holy Spirit just talked through you just now. And then it goes on, Peter is commissioned. And it's still in Matthew. We're still in the same scene in Matthew. Matthew 16, 18 says, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, death, will not overpower it by preventing the resurrection of Christ. So Jesus goes on to affirm Peter as the one who will lead the establishment of his church. What a powerful prophecy to make over someone who will deny him three times. Now, Jesus knew this. I was like, okay, because I always ask, why did Jesus pick Peter? Why? You knew he was going to deny you three times. Why didn't you pick John, the disciple that Jesus loved? Because that would have been my choice. I would have picked John, the disciple that Jesus loved, the one that was just, you know, but the one that he gave his mother to John. He said, John, take care of my mom. That's the one I would have chosen. But he chose Peter, the outspoken one. You know, oh, the bold one, the one that was going to deny him three times. What Jesus has said, you know, and what he was saying, what Jesus has said over you, what has Jesus said over you? Even though you've done all this stuff, the question is, what has Jesus said over you? Some of y'all know it. You know it. You know what he told you in your prayer closet about you. But you look at yourself and you're like, well, I just did this and I messed up there. What has he said over you? Because he said this over Peter long before all this stuff was going to happen. What has he spoken directly to your heart about you or about a loved one that seems to be faltering? See, sometimes Jesus has spoken to your heart about a loved one that's faltering right now. They're acting out right now. They're fighting God right now. But God has spoken to you about that child, about that sister, about that brother. God has spoken to you. Hold to it. Hold to it. Remember Peter. Remember old Peter. And all the things that he went through. So we want to hold to what Jesus has spoken over us or spoken over our loved one. And that's what we want to pray. Nail it to your war room wall and pray over what he has said. Revisit the words that he whispered in your ears many years ago. Write it down and nail it, as I said, to your war room wall. And pray over what he has said over those children. What he has said over that person. What he told you. We're not going to throw that away. I mean, there are things that were prophesied over my children when they were just babies. Stuff was prophesied over them. And the enemy wants you to forget those things as you see all this stuff happen. Oh, my God, Matthew has autism. And, you know, this is happening and that's happening. Chris, I'm going to nail it to my war room wall, honey. We're going to pray. We're going to pray what the Lord has spoken, because what he has spoken is going to come to pass, because Peter did establish the church of Jesus Christ. On what happened? What was the difference with Peter? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit get a hold of you, and boy, what Jesus has spoken will come to pass in your life. So we see Peter commended, we see Peter commissioned, and then we see Peter rebuked. And it's still in Matthew 16. Same scene. Same scene. Oh, I just got tickled with that. I said, Peter, you know, Jesus gives you a compliment. The Son of God gives you a compliment and commissions you, and then he has to rebuke you. So here we go. Matthew 16:23. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man." Oh, my goodness. And we're still in Matthew 16. We're in the same setting. You know, because Jesus went on to start telling him about that he needed to go to Jerusalem and that he was going to be arrested. He's going to be accused. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be put to death. And here comes Peter. "No, you won't be. Oh, no. Over. You're not." And Jesus had to rebuke him. Oh, my goodness. I said, Lord, this is such a picture of humanity. We can be in the spirit one minute, and the next minute, there we go. Did you guys see The Shack? See the movie The Shack? And the person, that lady that they had depicting as the Holy Spirit, how she was just a wisp. She was like, you know, sometimes she was there. You can sort of like she was there and she was kind of there, and, you know. And I thought it was such a beautiful depiction of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can be there and then you can just shut him out the next few seconds. And that's what happened here. You know, just moments later, Jesus must rebuke the man he just affirmed. Oh, you know, because when you get affirmed, you got to be careful when you get compliments and when you're affirmed, because this relaxes your spiritual maturity. Peter relaxed his maturity for a while, and he allowed emotions to supersede the truth of God spoken by his Lord. He just declared that Jesus was the Son of the living God, but then did not want to receive the hard truth of Christ's coming crucifixion. You just said he was Lord. You just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he says something, and you don't want to receive it. Oh, isn't that the picture of us? Oh, man, we love when Jesus is giving us blessing and accolades, but man, he speak a truth to us? No. We want to reject it. So it's a picture of us, and a picture of how Christ hasn't just turned around and just rebuked Peter. Oh boy, I'm just reminded of the scripture that says men ought to always pray and not faint. That's in Luke 18:1. Always pray. Pray without ceasing. That's the other one. You got to be in prayer all the time, and especially after you just got a compliment. You better be in prayer after you got a compliment, because that's when you're going to mess up, I tell you. Because you all relaxing. Oh yeah, I really brought that word, didn't I? I really ministered to that person. I ministered to them. Did you just see how I ministered to them and the tears fell and, you know, Jesus just really moved on their life? Be careful. Be careful. Luke 18:1. Be careful. I'm telling you, because the enemy, he's like, okay, they just got a compliment. Oh, they just got an award. Oh, they just had some, oh, somebody just gave them some flowers. Be careful. You keep praying. You know, you got your flowers. Oh, you didn't get any? Oh, well. Just that fast. Just that fast. And I mean, it'll happen at home. With your family. Oh, they brought me flowers. They didn't bring you any flowers. There you are. All caught up in the spirit of pride that quick, and Jesus got to come and convict you. Like, what was that all about? We have to be so careful with ourselves. I'm telling you, this is war. This is war, people. Do you understand? This is war. You know, the enemy, he's watching. He'll camouflage himself, and he'll be just watching. Remember what the scripture says? He walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who just got a gift? Who just got an award? Who just got a compliment? Be careful, people. Watch yourselves. I think we're most vulnerable. We're most vulnerable to the spirit of pride after we've received a compliment, so be careful. Next part, it says, Peter was confronted and encouraged. And this is from Mark. Let me get the scripture here. It's on the next page for me. Let's see. It's from Luke. Yeah, Luke. Luke 22:33. And it says, Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith and confidence in me may not fail. And you, once you have turned back again to me, you hear that? Once you have turned back to me again, Jesus, I mean, he's already prophesying, you're going to deny me three times. Once you have turned back to me again, strengthen and support your brothers in the faith. And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. See, that's, you know, Peter, you got to commend him for talking. Okay, you got to commit him for standing up and talking. Jesus is telling him, when you turn back to me, because you leaving me, when you turn back, and he's still saying, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said, I say to you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will utterly deny three times that you know me. And that's Luke 22:31-33. There are several things Jesus is doing with Peter in these verses. He's confronting Peter's weakness. He's letting him know, I see your weakness. I know you're going to deny me. And I see it. And encouraging him toward recovery. Because he said, when you turn back to me again, I'm confronting the fact that you are going to deny me. I know that you're going to deny me. But when you turn back, I'm past that. I'm past you denying me. When you turn back to me, then I want you to turn around and encourage your brothers in the faith. And this is, oh boy, this is so powerful here. He encourages them toward recovery and strengthening of others after his recovery. You know, and again, why didn't he choose John? John didn't deny him. Why choose the one that denied him three times to tell him this? After you recover, then you turn around and encourage. See, Jesus does that. I love that about Jesus. So those of you that have fallen, that have got mess and junk and history in your life, who better to encourage everybody else? Those of you that have gone through a divorce, who better to encourage somebody in their marriage? I'm like, no, don't go down the road I went down. Don't do what I did. Oh, man, you can encourage somebody. Yes, I went through that. Yes, I know your heart is broken, but I'm going to tell you, God will bring you through. You know, because sometimes a divorce will happen. But people have to know God is going to bring you through. God will pick you up. He will love you. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is, my maker is my husband. The Lord God Almighty is his name. I love that from Isaiah 54, that God will pick you up. You know, who better to show somebody through tragedy? You've had losses and you've had loss after loss. Who better to help the bereaved person, to help the person? I'm telling you, like Jesus said, once you have come through it, turn around and encourage your brothers in the faith. So don't let the enemy, don't let the liar tell you, well, you need to be quiet because you failed. And you need to, don't even try to say anything about anybody's business, helping somebody in business, because your business failed. Don't try to, you know, teach anybody anything because you, and you can fill in the blank, the enemy is just endless in the ways in which he hits us with lies, so that we will not recover, number one, and number two, we won't encourage anybody else, because he's got us all jacked up in our head that we can't because we have failed. Oh, I want you to remember Peter. I love Peter, and I see why Jesus established his church on Peter, because he is the picture of humanity. All the mistakes and all the issues and all the things that he did, but yet, oh, hallelujah, Jesus was there. Forgiveness, 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 recovery, reestablishing, encouraging other people, the person that has been through all of this stuff. And then finally in your lesson, it talks about Peter being reestablished. And he said to him, then, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. I love that. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you. And that's Mark 16, 6 and 7. Note the instructions of the angel of God, angels of God, to call Peter by name. I know God instructed them to do that. Call Peter by name, because I knew, Jesus already knew how Peter was feeling. I mean, he had denied him three times, and I'm sure Peter was just feeling bad and was going to just be at a place where he didn't want to show his face. Have you ever been there? I can't even show my face because I have sinned so badly that I can't even show my face. I have taught this and taught this to other people. Now I have failed. Oh, my goodness. Have you been there? Have you been there? But Jesus will call you out. He said, because who better to tell my people that I can bless you to get up and overcome than the person that has been through, that the person that has failed? So he called Peter out by name because he had not changed his mind concerning Peter. He still was going to establish his church on Peter. He had not changed his mind, and he has not changed his mind concerning you. You know, sometimes we think, oh, he changed his mind at this point because I've been through this and I've been through that and I've been sitting here for 10 years and I've been... He has not changed his mind. Remember, he's the Alpha and Omega. He already sees the end of you. on this earth, because there is no end of you. Whatever God created is eternal. But he has seen all of your life on this earth, and he still has called you. He hasn't changed his mind concerning you. The next point on your lesson says, why didn't Peter leave Jesus? Why didn't Peter just say, forget it? Just, I keep messing up. I keep talking out of turn. You know, just when I think I got it right, he turns around and rebukes me because I said the wrong thing again. I think I'm protecting him, and I've said the wrong thing. So why didn't Peter just throw up his hands and just let it go? Just forget it. I'll never get it right, because that's how we think sometimes. With all of the ups and downs in their relationship, why not give it all up and go back to fishing? Why not just go back to fishing? Because I'm trying with just Jesus, and I just can't seem to get it right. You know, I believe that through all of his interactions with Christ, both pleasant and painful, there was a hunger in his spirit for the truth. Hallelujah. As it is with all of us. Do you know what I'm talking about? With all your ups and downs with God, with all the disappointments, all the things you thought he should have done, the things that he did that blessed your heart, with all of that, there's a hunger for the truth that is him. Nothing can satisfy the spirit of man other than the truth and the love of his creator. Hallelujah. So when you are called to minister accountability to a brother or sister, remember this. Remember this when you have to give them a hard truth. You have to give them something that's going to pain them a little bit. Yeah, they might get mad. They may walk away. But I'm telling you, the hunger for the truth is in every human being. I just believe that. Human beings hunger for truth because they're surrounded by lies. Lies, lies, lies everywhere you go. So when they hear truth, it resonates in their spirit. It resonates that this is truth. And we hunger for the truth of our Creator. Next point on your lesson, this is why the people you speak truth to come back to you over and over again. You know those folks around you. They keep coming back. You've told them, you've hit them square between the eyes, and they come back again because they're hungry for the truth. They may be angry for a moment, but will return because of the truth. Yes, like your children. Oh boy, what a great example that is, Terry, your children. You tell them the truth, you hit them square between the eyes with the word of God, and they get mad. Oh, mama, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, this is 2018. We do it different today. You know, have you seen the updated version? Have you seen the Bible 2.0? You know, I'm like, there is no Bible 2.0. There's just one Bible. Okay? We're not updating. We're not upgrading. And they come back. They come back because they remember the love. They remember the truth of the love. Mom was sincere. They told us the truth. I was told the truth in my home. You know, they didn't patty cake and I got mad and I left, but I'm going to return just like the prodigal. They return. They return. Remember Peter's words to Christ. As a result of this, many of his disciples abandoned him and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12 disciples, you do not want to leave too, do you? Simon Peter answered, here he is again, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You are our only hope. We have believed and confidently trusted, and even more, we have come to know by personal observation and experience that you are the Holy One of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And that's John 6, verses 66 through 69. With all of his issues, Peter knew and he craved truth. You hear that? You hear him? People were laughing, but Peter, again, standing up and talking. I said, boy, that guy, he's just such a picture of us. I mean, some days we get it and we're right on and we're just so in tune, and other days we just miss the mark, but Jesus is always there bringing us back. Oh, go tell my disciples and Karen. Tell Karen to come. I know she done messed up. Tell Karen to come on too. Tell her to come on back to prayer meeting. Come on, tell Karen to come back to Bible study. I know she messed up. But tell her to come back. And that's the way Jesus will do us. You know, he will call us back because he knows our hearts and he knows that we crave the truth. I was looking in our Bible study, our War Room Bible study book, and there was this prayer in here that I thought was just very appropriate. And it says, Heavenly Father, you are so worthy of all of our attention and affection. Each of us depends on the power of your Holy Spirit speaking to us. Each of us needs connection to other believers who will speak the hard truth in love. Will you help us balance truth and love in our relationship? Will you help us practice truth, true Christian accountability? We love you. We believe that you hear us and know our heart's desire to follow you well. In unity of heart and spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's just a beautiful prayer, just asking, Lord, will you help us? We love you. Show us what true accountability looks like and what it feels like, and let us be attentive to it. Let us be open to it. So any comments or questions?
You were saying to share truth and love. Not too long ago, a friend of mine, we've been friends for at least 50 years, grew up together, and she was there when I went through my brain surgery. She was very faithful. I asked her if she would come and read to my Bible to me if I was not able to read it. And she came faithfully when I was in a coma and came and she read to me faithfully every day. But one day, just recently, we were talking about something and the Lord wanted me to share something with her, truth, and I did in love and just with the help of God. And she said to me, whoa, the truth will set you free, but it'll hurt first.
Amen. Boy, I tell you, this lady never ceases to amaze me. I had no idea. Brain surgery, coma, really? See, that's why we need to talk. Because that encourages me and that blesses me that after all she's been through, oh my God, she sits here testifying about the friend that was there. I'm telling you, that's why we got to talk to each other. Because you think you've gone through some stuff? Oh boy, we listen to each other. Thank you for sharing, Irene. Boy, that was awesome. I never knew that. Anybody else? Anybody else got a comment? My theologians over here, anybody?
There you go. And I'm hoping it'll reach you. I was just going to share, I've got a big voice anyway. You know, when we have our accountability partners that we can call and say, you know, I'm having trouble with this, pray with me. Well, the ladies, you know, that are in the Bible study, how many people, you know, can you call and say, pray with me about this? Any one of these ladies in this Bible study, you know, we've known each other for years, and we can call anybody and talk. The other thing I was going to say is that as the younger people, the generation, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to help them learn how to pray and to look for help when they're in a situation that needs help. And then the other thing is that the spirit of offense, that it is a sin. So when you recognize that that you've been offended, immediately repent for it. Recognize it as a sin because it's not of God. And so, you know, repenting immediately for that, or even anger or revenge or whatever you feel, as soon as you recognize it, repent for it right there. Get off to a corner by yourself and talk with the Lord about it. Don't carry it. So,
just those. Amen. You know, and thank you, Joan, for sharing that, because, yeah, you got to be real before God. He already knows it. So I don't know why we're faking it. You know, he already knows it. And you're right about that spirit of offense, you know, because you can be offended because you're human. You'll be offended. But when you start taking on the spirit of offense,
yes,
that means you're holding it, holding the grudge, letting resentment, bringing his sister resentment along, and his other brother unforgiveness, and all these things riding on your back now, because you took on that first spirit, which was the spirit of offense. You got to let that thing go immediately. You know, not that you don't have hurt feelings, but you take your hurt feelings to Jesus. You know, and he will minister, and I love him because he ministers things. Sometimes he even tells you things going on with that person. You know, I'm working with them. They're going through some things. They've had some pains in their life. They've had some losses. That's why they're so angry. And that's why they're snapping at people. because they have a broken heart. You know, but if you could stand as my child, you know, if you could stand, you know, for them and love them through it, oh, what a change it can make for them. It could be the difference for them. You know, we're a peculiar people, folks. We don't have a license to act any kind of way. We don't. We are a peculiar people, and we've got to start to be different. Because I say, if we were different in this world, boy, what a difference this world would be. If the children of the living God were really different. How different? Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, there's an awesome book that you guys have probably heard of by John Bevere, The Bait of Satan. I don't know if you guys have read it, but I'm telling you. You're talking about a book that talks about the spirit of offense. It's a powerful book that you should read, you know, because he really addresses that issue on the spirit of offense. Anybody else before we...
Talking about having somebody that has gone through a lot, we've got to really be patient with them and pray for them. I've got a granddaughter that she stays away from everybody. And I was in the last time that I almost saw her, she works at a store. And my other granddaughter saw her and she told us that she's here. So, you know, I was going to go and talk to her, you know. And she just vanished. And I know she was watching us, so she made sure that we didn't get close to her. So that's one person that you might pray for her, because she's been through two divorces. She's lost both of her parents, and she won't have anything to do with anybody else. She won't talk to us. When my daughter came around, she loved her aunt. I didn't hear from her. She didn't come around or nothing. So she's really having a lot of problems.
We'll pray for her. We'll pray. You don't have to call her name, but we're going to pray for her, you know, because, again, an example of someone that has had losses and now they're hurting and they're isolating themselves because lies, enemies telling them lies, and keeps them isolated, keeps them alone. But Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, he can penetrate wherever they are and start ministering to them. You know, I've seen the Holy Spirit do it all by himself. You know, just start ministering to them. And, you know, one day they're picking up that Bible and they're just reading a few scriptures. They hear something on the radio. They watch something on television. And the Holy Spirit just starts ministering. And before you know it, you know, they're kind of hanging around. And they're coming closer. Amen. Amen. And you keep confessing that. You keep confessing that. We will be praying for her, you know. That's your granddaughter? Okay, B's granddaughter. Put her on your prayer list, okay? Put on your prayer list, and we're going to pray after right now, and we're going to pray, you know, you got a team that's praying, you know, and I just look forward. I expect you to come back and testify and tell us the change that has taken place. You know, guys, again, we are in a war. This is war. So we're going to join our sister, and we're going to go into warfare for this family member and watch God do his great work in their lives, in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and kindness. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, Lord God. We thank you because we can come before the throne of mercy and grace and find help in the time of need, Lord God. So we are grateful, Lord God. We are grateful that you have adopted us into your family, Lord God. Father, that all power on heaven and earth is given unto you, and therefore you give us authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And with this authority, Lord, we pray over B's granddaughter in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray that you would move by your power and by your spirit in her life, Lord God. Father, she avoids the family, Lord God, but she can't avoid you, Lord God. You will reach her, Lord God. You will minister to her heart, Lord God. We take authority over the lies that Satan is trying to plant in her mind, that has planted in her mind, in the name of Jesus. We take authority over it and we cast it down in Jesus' name. And Lord, and then we pray for the Holy Spirit to begin his ministry in her heart, in her mind, in her soul, in her spirit, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that she would be totally and completely set free, oh, God, and that salvation, Lord God, would come into her life, Lord God, and the family would be reunited. Oh, Lord, that there would be unity of the spirit. There will be the bond of peace in that family in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, and we pray not just for this family. We pray for all the families, Lord. We all are struggling. We all got loved ones, Lord God, that we need to call up before you, Lord God. And, Father, we join together as a unified body, lifting up our loved ones, Lord God. Father, you see each and every heart in this room, Lord God. And you know, oh, Lord, the ones that we are picturing in our minds right now. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would do your work by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we take authority over Satan in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh Lord, we take authority over the lies he has told them about themselves. The lies, Lord God, that he has planted to carry them away, Lord God. We pray that the chains would be broken in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, again, Lord, we are expecting you. We expect the change. We're going to speak the change, and we expect the change, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we have seen this is warfare, Lord God. So we put on our armor. We put on the total and complete armor of God, and we go out. We go out in warfare, and we go out with the strength and the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, and we cast down demons. We cast down devils, and we take authority, Lord God. Oh, Lord, oh, God, whatever we're struggling with today, Lord God, we take authority over it. Lord, we are together, Lord God, and today and Sunday, we're together, Lord. So, God, so we're going to take time and we're going to pray together. Oh, God, oh, Lord, in the unity, oh, God, that you have given us as the body of Christ. Oh, Lord, we pray for Margaret, Lord God. We pray. She was telling me about her family, what's going on with her daughter, Lord God. We lift up Rachel to you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we rebuke the enemy and we pray for peace. Peace in that household in the name of Jesus. We pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep their hearts and keep their minds through Christ Jesus, Lord God. We rebuke the devil. We rebuke the enemy. We rebuke strife, Lord God. We take authority over it in Jesus' name. And we pray for peace in that family in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We praise you and we magnify your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.